Hello and welcome back to the Eurability podcast from the Disability Staff Network as part of the Trust Staff Networks. Today we've got hopefully a relatively short podcast for you. It's going to be all about being diagnosed and being diagnosed at either an early age in life or a late age in life, and the pitfalls and or good things and bad things or labels around being diagnosed at those ages. So today I've got with me Ben and Dave. You probably know them both, but I'll just get them to say hello quickly.
Hi, I'm Dave. Dave Stocks. I'm a community development worker for suicide prevention for the Trust and formerly an expert by experience.
Ben, do you want to say hello?
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm a mental health nurse. I work in the Liaison Diversion Service in the outreach team.
So, I was diagnosed with dyslexia in my formative years. Dave, you were diagnosed at a later stage. And as we know from previous podcasts, Ben was only just very recently diagnosed, as was Dave in terms of a second separate diagnosis. So in my case, because I was diagnosed relatively early in life, I went to a variety of specialist schools. I went to Steiner schools. I went to Maria Montessori because I didn't manage particularly well in those early years in a normal state school. And to be fair, I think that predominantly worked for me. I think there were issues, but I think overall my feeling is that I was more successful in those slightly more supported environments. I think for me, it was very much around sort of the formal assessments, like doing exams, things like that. That wasn't really heavily weighted in those schools. And I think I probably would have failed miserably at those at that age. I did then later obviously go and do studying where you did have to do exams, like doing an access course for university, going to university, things like that. So I think from that perspective, for me, that worked. I think one of the things in terms of labels and things like that, I think if you do have a label at that age, it can be harder. I think kids can be cruel, as we know. So there is an element of having something stuck on your back and people being potentially cruel about those things. I have to be honest, I was quite lucky that did happen to some degree, but generally people that I surrounded myself with and the friends that I had were very supportive and did help in some respect. So that's sort of my very brief reflection. Dave, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, because that's kind of the aspect of an early diagnosis and some of the pitfalls and or advantages.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've had two late diagnoses. One bipolar, which I found helped me when I got the diagnosis, because I could understand myself better and understand how to stabilise my mood, or should I say work with my mood, because I prefer to be on the high side of the mood. It was a long learning curve, because for a while I was deadened by medication and that wasn't me. So when I eventually got the balance of the medication right and understood my mood swings, I've been able to live with the sort of higher side of the mood without it getting too high, and that's really benefited me. So the diagnosis helped, but because it's a long process, an earlier diagnosis could have helped. The disadvantage about being diagnosed with bipolar when I was younger is the label aspect and getting labelled by your peers, young peers, would not have been very good. As it was, I was outcast during school anyway, which is coming on to this second diagnosis, which I very recently have had, which is autism. I've only very recently got the autism diagnosis, and my immediate thought, why has it taken so long? Because I've never felt I fitted. I was bullied at school. I never felt part of the gang, so to speak, and I just didn't feel right. So if I'd have been diagnosed when I was younger, I believe it would have really helped me, because it really helped me understand myself and how to fit in and how to better succeed at school. I was very, school didn't suit me one little bit. I did very poorly academically, and it's because I didn't fit the mould within the school. So to me, it wasn't so much I didn't fit, is the school didn't fit me, teaching didn't fit me. And it would have helped with an earlier diagnosis. The only issue I may have had because of an earlier diagnosis is I'd have had that label on me from a young age. I may have been bullied even more because of that label. And also, if by having that label, internalising it, and maybe thinking that I can't achieve what I've been able to achieve in life, so it may have held me back. I don't think it would have done. I don't know, because I didn't have the benefit of an early diagnosis. But it possibly could have held me back, because I'd have been self-limiting because I had the diagnosis. But I think having autism is part of who I am. It makes me a much more out-of-the-box thinker, creative person, and I could have embraced that a lot more at an early age. So I think a diagnosis earlier would have helped. Having a diagnosis this late, getting a label this late, disclosing it this late, I'm finding it really weird sort of disclosing, oh, I've just been diagnosed with autism. I'm finding it very strange disclosing that, and I don't know what people's reactions are going to be. And people are not really sure how to react to me, to tell the truth. Do you need support? What should I say to you? It's all these things start coming out, and actually, I've just had the diagnosis, but I've not changed as a person. I'm still the same person. I just happen to have had a diagnosis. So don't all sort start panicking. He's now autistic. I've always been autistic. I just had the diagnosis recently. So the label is just a label. It just helps me to understand myself more, and able to sort of plan for potentially difficult situations. So I'm learning about autism now. I'm learning about it, and through learning about autism, and it's a huge spectrum, so not all autistic people are the same by any stretch of the imagination. Through learning about it, I'm learning more about myself, and that's really helping.
That's really interesting. So there's a lot of things in there for me. So number one is around the self-limiting. So there could be, and we know from sociology and other research, that people who don't have high expectations, for example, from teachers, especially in formative years, don't perform as well. So that's really interesting, isn't it? So the other thing you talked about, Dave, which is interesting, I just want to throw it to the room, is about how you would like people to react. So we know how people do react, which is, you know, very varied, I guess. But what do people think they would like if you disclose or share?
Again, I don't know how I'd expect people to react. It's so new to me. I don't know how I'd expect people to react. As I was saying, I'm still the same person. I just happen to now have a diagnosis. So I'm still exactly the same person. So, you know.
What I'm thinking, Dave, is sort of the oh dear, I'm so sorry to hear that kind of scenario, because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll see what you're getting at now, Chris. Yeah,
Ben, do you have a thought?
Definitely not the oh sorry. I would actually say, I would rather people react say, oh great, you got the diagnosis. That's now really going to help you and help you understand yourself more and. You know, if you got it and you've got the diagnosis and you're learning about yourself, if there's any way I can help, that'd be great. It's more of a helpful label than a bad label. So to me, it helps. So, I would really like people to react in a positive way rather than, oh dear, I'm so sorry to hear about that. That's totally wrong. Yeah.
Ben?
So I think that there's a lot of it is to do with people's lack of understanding of what it actually means to have these kind of diagnoses, really, isn't it? I think things like bipolar disorder, for example, I remember Kerry Katona being diagnosed with that and a few other celebrities, and obviously when that happens you'll find that these chat shows that if you're ever off sick from work or got a few days off, that they'll talk about these kind of things, you know, like Loose Women and, you know, those kind of daytime TV shows, and that increases the awareness of it, and you'll find that a lot of these kind of public figures will openly talk about it, because that part of their kind of understanding themselves better is sharing what they know about it and education with other people. There was a recent TV show, Paddy McGuinness and his wife. I saw the advertisement, I didn't watch it all the way through, but they, I think it might have been on Channel 4 or something like that, but basically it was almost like they were educating the public, really, of increasing the awareness of what it actually means. And I remember, I think I did watch some of it actually. I remember thinking, you know, that they're talking about this in quite a kind of, like a basic way, as if to say, to try and get to, so that it was accessible for everyone that there was, is to really. So I think with regards to kind of people's reactions, I think the automatic reaction of, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, is probably because that's what we've been socially conditioned to do, isn't it? So for example, you know, you go to the doctor, normally there's something wrong with you, and then the idea is that they will fix it, isn't it? You know, I've been to the doctor, I've got I've got a chest infection, I've been to the dentist, I've got an abscess or something like that. Oh god, sorry to hear that. What, you know, what they're going to do about it, how they're going to fix it. So you know, I think it's kind of people's experience of neurodiversity and mental health as well, isn't it? I suppose it, in my position, and because the nature of my diagnosis of ADHD is that I will, regardless of whether people want to be educated or not, I will educate them and tell them about it. So, and that's probably part of just how part of my job role anyway, and, you know, and making people more aware of their own illnesses and things. I think when it comes to advantages and disadvantages, I'm not entirely sure on this, and I think when I first got my diagnosis, I was really frustrated, because I thought, well, this explains so much stuff that's happened in the past, and you know, my experiences of having difficulty in education and in the workplace. But then I thought to myself, well, I still ended up you know, passing my GCSEs and my A-levels and getting two bachelor degrees. So really, I mean, I don't know how things would have been different. And also I'm thinking, well, if you're a child now and you get a diagnosis of ADHD or autism or dyslexia, there is stuff in place now. I'm not entirely sure if that would have happened when I was going in primary school in the early 90s. So, I'm not entirely sure if it would have been, if it,
very slowly started at that stage, wouldn't it? But I think the understanding would have still been quite limited, I would argue. Just a thought, sorry, out of interest for both of you. So in terms of if you hypothetically had been diagnosed earlier and if you had had medication at that stage, do you think that would have been helpful because it would have, in Dave's case, limited the ups and downs in terms of mood swings and or some of the things you've described, Ben, in the past? Or do you think that would have been detrimental and potentially a negative thing?
I'm, when I've spoken to my mum about my behaviour as a child, she was like, oh, God, yeah, you were really hyperactive, particularly when I was very young. In nursery, for example, I mean, I love this story telling people because it always shocks them. But I actually got expelled from nursery for being in a fight. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if that was because of ADHD. But my mum always used to say, well, all we used to do is just give you lots of stuff to keep you occupied, because you were always on the go. And then fortunately for mum, she could get some respite by palming me off to her mum's, my nan's house so there's all stuff to keep me occupied there as well, really. So in terms of medication, I'm not entirely sure if that was something that my mum would have actually agreed to. I might have got the diagnosis, but I don't necessarily think that at a young age with the lack of understanding, and my mum doesn't understand that much stuff now, even though I explain it to her multiple times, if that would have actually happened. So potentially I could have had a label without any medicated treatments, and I'm not entirely sure if there would have been any other kind of psychotherapy or anything like that, to be honest. So also, I think as well that I think I've touched on this in previous podcasts, but I think when I was growing up in my 20s and everyone's a little bit wild, and when you're students and you're going out and things like that, you've been hyperactive on a night out where everyone's drinking that people actually thrive off that, don't they? And yeah, you thrive off that as well. It's only when you're later on in life where, you know, everyone else is kind of settling down and having kids and being very sensible, and you still feel a little bit like wired sometimes, or, you know, not necessarily feeling that you're as mature as everyone else, realising that the way that you're acting is kind of getting you into trouble at work and things like that, is when you kind of reevaluate things, really. So in that sense, I think it's kind of come a right time for me. But it does make me think, would I have pursued a career earlier on? Would I have done different things? But I just think, is a really, and this is like my swings in life, really, is there really much point looking back at all of this, just moving forward, you know, with the information you know now and the world that we live in?
I agree with that. I think, you know, I think what you're describing is that when you are young, you see these things as a potential disadvantage or a stumbling block, and you have parents who are worried about you in terms of what are you going to do in life and how are you going to manage and cope, versus potentially going through life without having that proverbial label that we've talked about, and muddling through, for want of a better word. And then later in life, these things can turn into an advantage, like you just described, Ben, Dave, out of the box thinking, you know, actually using some of the perceived disability to become an ability,
yeah,
which is why the network is called what the network is called ultimately. So, I think this has been fascinating discussion. So, has anybody got any final thoughts before we wrap it up for today? Because I think we've had a really good conversation.
My only concern is overuse of medication. I went for many years after late diagnosis of bipolar, basically like a zombie, which wasn't me. So we mentioned the medication thing. Medication's good, but you've got to get it right. And that is my only concern. If I'd have been over medicated as a child, that would have been a disaster as far as I'm concerned. So, I think we need to make sure that medication is used correctly and properly and is used to complement other treatments, not rather than as a fix. As you just mentioned, Chris, I see my disability not as a disability but an ability. If I'd be on that medication dose now, all that ability would be gone.
It's a fascinating discussion, and I have young children, and I don't know what I would do in terms of medication if they had a diagnosis at the age that they are at. And it is a fascinating minefield, I guess, in terms of what is the right thing at that age, especially in those really early formative years. It is very, very hard. So, well, thank you both. Been a fascinating discussion as always. So we'll be looking forward to the next podcast. I think we're going to have our colleague Will Cooling on, and I think we're just going to be talking about disability and what disability is. So we'll hopefully see you at the next podcast. And thank you very much again for listening. My name has been Chris Quadling. See you soon.
Bye.